Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us right now on the hotline, he's a three-time NBA champion, executive vice president, managing executive at Wasserman Group, also founder of Counter Moves Media. And he says he's not the lead singer of Green Day, obviously. BJ Armstrong joins us on the show. And I read your Twitter profile. So wait a minute. Now, you got a lot of these guys. They just try to do all these things. You are very successful in business, BJ. My God.
Well, I don't know about successful, but you know what? I'll take a shot at it. It's been great having fun and, you know, being able to just kind of dip and dab in different things. So I've been very fortunate to work with a lot of great people over the years and had a lot of great examples to encourage me and say, hey, go for it and kind of try different things.
Man, at BJ Armstrong on Twitter. So who's better, LeBron or Michael?
Oh, God, that's an incredible question. And I think it's every time you watch LeBron, you definitely it brings up the question who is better. But I can definitely say this, you know, LeBron is without question the best player of this generation. He's a once in a lifetime player that comes around every so often, and clearly Michael was that same player and very dynamic as well in his generation. So I think it's one as you watch LeBron do things like he did tonight. It's certainly it crosses your mind, but who's better? You know, it's a totally different game, but clearly LeBron is making his statement as he goes through his career, especially in year 15 of what he's been able to do thus far, and he's making his case as we speak.
I can't believe. Do you understand? Now, I know I don't want to just turn it into this argument here, but to get that answer from you, who won three championships and played with Michael Jordan, and who I watched as a young man. Like, that's already like, wow, I can't believe it. I got a guy who played with Michael to give me that type of answer. So if you were starting a team, you had to pick Michael or LeBron, who would you pick, PJ?
Well, if I had to pick today, I would pick Jordan. I know Jordan. I think because I play with him, I'm biased. But I try to look at it. And the thing is, I watch LeBron, I have to constantly remind myself he's still playing. You know, he still has time to make his case. But if I had to choose today, as we're talking here, I would choose Michael Jordan. And simply on the fact is I know what that man is going to do night in and night out. There's no question what he's going to do. There's no question that he is perhaps the greatest finisher the game has seen. And I know him. Now, you know, as I said, you know, LeBron is still making his case. And I won't be able to answer that, you know, I think clearly until his career is over with. But as of today, right now, I'm going to say that Michael Jordan, if you say who was I starting team with, I would start it with him right now.
I love it. BJ Armstrong joining us on the show. Now, I'm watching this series. I'm in a surreal moment here, and maybe it's just my simple Midwestern roots, where I get done with this game. I see the Cavaliers. They live to play in another series. They might get boat raced, but they live to play in another series. And I look at Boston, and I see just such a great future ahead of them. And right after this game, BJ, I'm going, hey, if you're a Boston fan, I know you're upset, but things are going to be fine for the future. You got a lot of great things to get excited for. And I got people calling me up saying I'm being too soft on Boston. Am I being too soft on the Boston Celtics?
Well, you know, you look at their team, and you certainly, you know, you feel for the team because they play so hard. They play the game the right way. They're well coached. And then you look at the team and you say, you know what, they have a lot of young players. And let's be honest, if we're all honest here, as we're talking, I don't think anyone expected them to be here, especially mm-hmm. after the injuries that they had with arguably their two best players going down. So in retrospect, looking back on it, you say they had a phenomenal year. And once they'll get those guys back in the fold, you would say, you know, clearly now the expectations of it's the finals or bust now will be on this team. I don't know how that plays out with this group because the way they weren't put together like through the draft. So my biggest question as I look at them, is how are you going to retain all of these players, right? How are you going to retain Al Horford? How are you going to retain Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward? And then clearly Jaylen Brown now is, you know, this kid had a phenomenal rookie year. And Jaylen Brown, you have Marcus Smart, you have Rozier. How are you going to retain all of these players? So I think it's going to be very tough as they move forward because all those players weren't drafted there. And at some point, they're going to lose one of those players because I think all of those players right now are, you know, most of them are going to be, if they were on the open market, would be undervalued. And so I think Boston is going to have to make some big decisions as they're going to move forward and how they're going to continue to meet these expectations with the current player and current roster as they have at this particular time.
B.J. Armstrong joining us on the show. Find him on Twitter, at B.J. Armstrong, three-time NBA champion. If you watch any basketball, you know exactly who he is. Back on May 23rd, you said on the In the Key podcast that you expect, even though it was 2-2, you wouldn't expect it. You would have been surprised. You wouldn't be surprised to see Cleveland back in the NBA Finals. Explain your reasoning then. Did you still feel that way when it was a 3-2 series?
Wow. It's funny. All my friends were calling me tonight during the game and asking me, why did I say that on the podcast? And the reason I said that is because, you know, every now and then you'll see what I consider a great player, a player who tips the scale. You know, I happen to play with Michael Jordan, who at any given moment could win a game by himself during the regular season and, of course, during the playoffs. The reason I said what I say is because when I played against the Detroit Pistons many years ago, the big thing that I learned from the late Chuck Daly, as he was coaching the team, he said, you never allow a great player to be great. We gave LeBron James four times to win one game in Boston. And, you know, to me, the Celtics had dodged everything they could dodge by. They beat them three times at home. You can't allow a great player to be great at any given moment. And that's what the Jordan rules were all about. They were not going to allow Michael Jordan to even have an opportunity to be great. If you're going to beat a great player, you just got to take him out of the game and live with the results. And if you give LeBron James one shot to beat you, two shots, three shots, let alone four shots, one of those shots he's going to make. And that's what I felt as the series went on. If he could just hold serve, he was going to figure out a way to win one of those games. I didn't know which one it was going to be, and I just thought he was too great of a player, too great of a talent to go 0-for-4 in any given series on the road. So that was my reasoning. I learned that a long time ago. You know, for Celtic fans, they wish it didn't come true, but that's kind of the luck of the draw. You can't allow a great player to be great. LeBron is too great of a talent to give him an opportunity to beat you, especially in the playoffs, let alone an opportunity when the game was as close as it was going into the fourth quarter. So I just felt he had a chance, he had the talent to do it, and lo and behold, he does it tonight.
B.J. Armstrong laying it down with us, at B.J. Armstrong on Twitter. You watch what's going on in the West right now. I got to ask you here. I know Andre Iguodala is a very good player, and he's aged like a fine wine. With him out, though, is that really any legitimate excuse for Golden State to have been down 3-2 and to have a chance to maybe win this series but to still be going in as some sort of an underdog in some people's minds?
You know, when Andre got hurt, you know, everyone knows what Andre brings defensively, right? He's a versatile defender. He's a terrific facilitator, unselfish basketball player. Where I thought he was going to hurt the team the most, if you will, by playing or with his injury, was his offensive spacing. And you would go, oh, he's not an offensive player. But the spacing he provides, because he initiates the offense. So now you're taking another player that normally is receiving the second pass, now has to make that first pass. So to me, Steph Curry was going to be out of place. Draymond Green, who is a terrific facilitator, if you take the ball out of his hand, now you have Kevin Durant initiating or Klay Thompson, and then that puts the other players in unfamiliar places on the floor. It has taken them literally two games to kind of figure out the spacing on the floor on the offensive end. And that's what I thought, that, you know, that the game was going to be a little mumbled, if you will, until they figured it out. Now, luckily, they look like they figured it out, and I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be tough for the Rockets to counter that, especially now with Chris Paul going down. But Iguodala, he's an initiator of the offense, which puts Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant where they want to be. They are scorers, and you put them in scoring positions. With him out, now you put them as the guys who are initiating the offense. So that, to me, that kind of broke up their rhythm, if you will, in games four and game five.
B.J. Armstrong joining us on the show. Who wins game seven in the Western Conference Finals?
Well, I'm gonna say the Warriors, just because the Warriors, you know, they've given away for all, you know, intents and purposes, they've given away two games already in the series. They were uncharacteristic the way they executed at the end of the games to win on the road and at home. So I'm gonna pick the Warriors. I think it's gonna be a great game. I picked this as well to go seven. But I think anything can happen. But if you had to, if you're asking me today, I'm going to say the Warriors in Game Seven.
If Chris Paul was healthy, would they have won Game Six?
I think so. I think, you know, it's really funny. It's harder to play against. It's harder to play and prepare for a team where you don't know how they're going to play than to play for a team where you kind of familiar, even though he's a great player. I think playing with a Chris Paul on the floor is easier for the team to prepare now after you've played four or five games in a row. To take him out of the lineup, that puts everyone else in a different position on the floor. So it took the Warriors literally a half to kind of get adjusted to Eric Gordon. He was playing in a new position now. What was James Harden? His role was going to change. Clint Capella's role was going to change. You saw Joe Johnson come out there. So, you know, it takes some time to adjust to different players in different areas on the floor, because now during the course of a season, especially in the conference finals, you know the plays, you know the rhythms, you know the game, you know where everyone's on the floor, and now you totally change that up. So I thought the Rockets came out with the idea of trying to take advantage of the unknown, because it was unknown. How are they going to play? How are they going to use James? How are they going to, you know, what plays are they going to call? What new wrinkles are they going to have? And it took them a little while to figure it out, but they adjusted. Luckily, they got going there in the second half.
BJ, you played with Steve Kerr. Did you know he was going to be the type of coach he is when you played with him?
I did not. I did not know that Steve Kerr even wanted to coach, let alone to be the terrific coach that he has shown to be. What I did know is Steve had an incredible ability to organize. He was always an organizer. And, you know, he always had a word of encouragement, whether you were playing in the game or, if we were out of the game or he saw something. So I know he had always had the basketball IQ for it. He was a terrific teammate. He was a great teammate. We would talk a lot of basketball, but I never thought he would actually go into coaching. He even had the patience to be a coach. But you know what? He's shown a phenomenal ability to relate to this generation of player, the way he communicates with them, his preparation. And I commend him more importantly than that, what he's been able to do individually, the staff and people that he's put around him. He's had great coaches. He's had, you know, assistant coaches now going on to be head coaches. So that's just a testament to him, his leadership ability, what he's been able to do in his career. And, you know, I just chuckled, you know, because I know him, and to call him Coach Kerr, and we just always get a chuckle and laugh when we see each other that, you know, he's a coach in the NBA.
B.J. Armstrong with us on the show. Real quick, tell me about the Counter Move Media here, what you're doing. I know that they have the In the Key podcast, which you're on. What else are you guys doing? What are the other projects?
Yeah, you know what, Counter Move Media, you know, and now in this day and age in social media, we're just helping to, you know, really go out there and create new creative content out there and showing our, especially our clients, the clients that I work with on a day-to-day basis, that we're going out there and we're creating things. And more importantly, we're taking the initiative and the responsibility of what's out there. You know, the social media is something that's brand new to this generation. And these guys have an incredible opportunity ahead of them to take control of, you know, how they will be marketed, how they will be known, how they're going to work with their partners and people that they work in different areas of, you know, whether it's a partnership, sponsors, or whatever they have going on. So Counter Move Media is an opportunity to help, especially the young people, this generation, to say, you know what, I'm going to take responsibility and ownership of how I'm going to be introduced into the world out here. And it's been great. It's been great working with players, working with young people. More importantly, it's more of a think tank. And we just go out there and say, why not? Instead of saying what we can't do, we say, why not? Let's go for it and see how it works.
BJ, we thank you very much for the time. I personally thank you for the time, my friend. All the best. Would love to have you again in the future.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.